快乐。
So, yeah, today I'm just welcome everybody to this meditation class. Today I just want to particularly like to mention the first hindrance that we have. These five hindrances. That's the first one is craving, desires. And the second one is ill will. The third one, sloth and torpor. The fourth one is restlessness. And the fifth one is doubt. So today I particularly just want to mention, focus on the first one. Because this is the first one actually is the most difficult one to remove or to suppress, you know, especially when we temporarily suppress these five hindrances, then you have this absorption. And these five hindrances, they are the one that really stop us, you know, from going into deeper states, you know, in meditation. And especially the first one, the craving, you know, the craving to be, especially craving not to be, you know, that is really, that part is difficult. Because whenever we crave, the mind moves, isn't it? When you want something, the mind is moving. So actually, you want to stop that is not easy. Because if you don't have the craving, we are not here. That is part of that, you're being reborn because of the movement. Because you feel, we know for ourselves, isn't it, when you crave for something, you can feel yourself is just reaching out, you know, just want something, you're moving towards you, you know. So this is how it's come from, the sense of self. So what it really means, like, well, it's this sense of self. And I remember someone asked me these questions. He said, you know, you talk about this non-self. And because I give a very good, I really like one of descriptions of non-self by Sariputta. He said that you can't say that that is something, because the passing away can be seen. You cannot say that is nothing, but the arising of things can be seen, isn't it? So it's non-self doesn't mean that no one there. Some people will tend to, when you talk about non-self, it's like just annihilation. There's nothing. No, you know? No next life, nothing. That's it. So, and that is the one, because, and then he asked me, can you really explain to me what is this non-self? I still couldn't get it. So I said, the non-self is more like the identification, how we identify. We make it to be self. For example, our feeling arises. It's just the feelings. Whatever things, the whole universe, all things that arises, they pass away. But we take the feelings to be me and myself. We make it into something. So, for example, when we feel hot or we feel itchy, so we take this itchiness to be me and mine. But if you be able to observe the itchiness, it's just itchiness, you know, then it will not disturb you, isn't it? Because it's just like nothing to do with me, it's just itchiness. But the problem why we feel so itchy, and immediately the attachment is come from the identified, the experience, the sensations, the feeling as me and mine. This is me. See? Then that's like when the pain, we feel painful, and this is my pain. So because of the attachment of that, we attach, we identify this body as me and mine. So whenever we feel painful, so we immediately, we want the pain to go away, isn't it? The more you want the pain to go away, it stay longer. And some people tend to do all sorts of things to try to get rid of the pain. I remember one young boy, he asked me, he said, you know, when I sit for a little while, And my knee is really painful. I started to feel painful. Even I tried to do loving kindness. The pain wouldn't go away. I said, this is not how you do loving kindness. I said, you try to do loving kindness to get rid of the pain. I said, it doesn't work that way. Because you want to get rid of the pain, like using loving kindness, using something, you know, to push it away. So I said, it doesn't work that way. That is not what is true loving kindness, that we try to push the pain away. It's come from the sense of self. So because the sense of self, like immediately, whatever contradicts our self-interest, the things that we don't like, immediately we push it away, isn't it? The more we push it away, that is craving not to be. You see, it's very subtle. It's still craving. You see, we craving not to be. We crave to be like that. We crave not to be like that. So that is the identity, who we expect ourselves to be. And we identify with our experience, our feelings. I like these feelings. I don't like that feelings. So we identify these feelings, we label them. Then we identify them as me and mine. And I don't like these feelings. So the more we try so hard to get rid of that, it's very difficult, isn't it? Even the itchiness, we take it to be ourselves. And the pain, we take it to be ourselves. And that is the part that is the most difficult part, because the sense of self, the craving, is the most difficult part, because it's very, very subtle. It's not like others, like doubt, that is like you just overcome by, you know, arouse faith in you, like a slot and topper, like restlessness, the causer. But it's still not easy. But the sense of self is very difficult. They really stop us from really being peaceful and being, you know, still. The mind being really still, completely still. Because whenever we move, whenever we crave, the mind move. When the mind move, you can't stay still, isn't it? So when, for example, when the sounds arises, and then our mind, you know, the senses, you know, we want to listen to what is that, you know. And maybe sometimes it's when we think that the sounds is disturbing us, or someone move, and constantly, because we take the senses to be me and mine, because we live with that since we born, isn't it? It's so ingrained that we take this part of ourselves, you know, our experience, our senses, what we hear, how we feel, to be me and mine. So when we have the sense of self, we started to measure, we started to manipulate, we started to control, because we think that we are in control. So when we have that, it's very difficult that the mind can go really deeper. So today I would like to talk about how to develop this perception of non-self. It's not that we already reached that level that we are non-self, but we develop this perception of non-self to help us. For example, especially when we meditate. So when we meditate, so we just sit and we just, whenever thoughts arises, because that is the thing that usually says the one that really people get caught, isn't it? And by all the thinking, the thoughts, that you just couldn't go. And sometimes someone says something, we just carry that, you know, on and on and on. And then we sit in meditation, our mind just go on and on and on. Because we take it to be something that is so important, you know. We give it meaning, we think that, you know, it's concerned me. Because the person talk about me, it's concerned me and mine. And we couldn't let that go, isn't it? So one of the ways to help whenever we have the thinking arises, you can just note it, thinking. But sometimes the thinking is really, really intense. You just quite find it very difficult. So you just, like a mantra, you tell yourself, this is not me, this is not mine. So mine, if you want to think, it's your business, it's not my business. So keep telling yourself that this is not me, this is not mine, and nothing to do with me. It's just thinking. So sometimes we need to keep doing that to remind ourselves. Because very easily we get caught, isn't it? And then we sit the whole hour, the mind go on and on and on. So that's why this is one of the ways to develop, to remind ourselves. This thinking is not me. This thinking is not mine. And just like to give a break so that the mind don't go further. Sometimes it's just interesting, you know, one thought, you know, trigger off. And then you go on, and the end, you know, of the thoughts actually it doesn't link, you know. We don't know how we can go up to, you know, do that, you know, from one thought, you know, to another. So that's like, this is how the mind keep, you know, projecting, proliferate, and go on. So we use this to develop the perception of non-self. This is not me, this is not mine, this is not my think. That's nothing to do with me. It's just thinking. So when we feel itchy, especially sometimes that the more you try to get rid of the itchiness, you feel even itchier. So you just say, okay, it's all right. It's just itchy. It's nothing to do with me. It's just itchiness. The itchiness is not belong to me. Because consciously, we may not think that we attach to these sensations, feelings, whatever experience we experience in that moment. But subconsciously, we really, because we've been conditioned that way. So we've been conditioned that we take this immediately, this me and mine, because with all the sensations, the feelings, and it, that it's just that we always try to manipulate. So when we have the sense of self, then the manipulations comes. We started to try to manipulate. Either we try to push it away, or we try to make it like happen, like, you know, try to make it stay longer rather than just let it be, letting go of that sensation, letting go of the feelings, letting go of whatever that experience that you don't like. Letting go means letting thing be. Whatever experience that we experience right now, we just experiencing. Whatever arises is going to pass away. That is non-self. We cannot control them. So letting go doesn't mean that we try to get rid of it and try to use all sorts of techniques to push it away. That is not called letting go. Letting go actually with acceptance. We accept that moment. We accept whatever experience, whatever feelings, whatever sensations we experience that moment, we just let it be. Letting thing be means letting go. We allow that is okay. The problem is we want it to be otherwise. We want this kind of experience. We don't like this. We want this. This is good. That is bad. Then that is really our sense of self is in the way, stopping us from going deeper, stopping us from going further. Because whenever we crave, the minds move. Sometimes people think that, oh, I can't find my breath. Actually, the breath is always there. The breath never go anywhere. Because the harder you try to catch the breath, try to look for the breath, you don't feel because your mind moves. The breath is always there. So whenever your mind moves, your object moves, isn't it? Actually, it's not the object itself move. The breath is always there. It's your craving. Your mind moves when your mind craves. You know, you tend to manipulate, you tend to measure, you tend to control. When you control, then your mind is moving. And sometimes people say, oh, why? The moment I see that it's nimitta, and I try to hold it, and it's gone. I said, of course, because the nimitta, is the object itself is there. But because our mind moves, it's not the object itself moved. The object didn't move. The breath is always there. The nimitta is always there. It's just, the nimitta is just a reflection of the mind. When your mind, when you really have that purity, the clarity, and that is a reflection of the mind, bright. The brightness, the light is the brightness of the mind. But if you try to catch it, you try to control, it's gone. So they said, whenever we try to control our breath, we try to hold, to focus on the breath, the harder we try, the worse. Because we try to control. We just let it be. Just let it be. So if the you don't feel the breath, it's okay. Let it be. So whenever experience, you know, that disturb your mind or distract your mind, if you couldn't focus, you just said, yeah, it's nothing to do with me. Pain, the body pain, it's nothing to do with me, it's just pain. So if you be able to really let go of that feelings, you don't take it, because we take it to be me and mine, because we hold on to that, we really don't want that pain. The more we don't want the pain, we feel more. And this is a very good one. It's from my own experience. I remember my first retreat, that being is a very intensive retreat. You know, you get up early in the morning, 3:30, and 4 o'clock you started to practice sitting and walking, sitting and walking. And only lunchtime you have only 1 hour break, and after that, you know, again you go back to practice till at night 10 o'clock. Actually, it's really intense for the. Until the third day, my body is just so painful. I'm so tired. I can't move anymore. I can't even walk. And I can't sit. My body is so painful. And I come to a point like, I said, I can't cope it. I said, it's so painful. I said, I can't sit, because I take 5 cushions also, I can't sit. The moment I sat down, was just so painful. And I come to the point, okay, what am I going to do? So I think I can't go back. Then that moment, I just let go. I said, okay, if the pain, because of the, we try to protect the sense of self, you know, the pain. So we don't want the pain. We want try to get rid of the pain. The more I try to get rid of the pain, I feel really painful to the point that I can't stand. So the moment I said, okay, it's all right. If the pain, if you want to take my life, it's fine. Because the only thing that we really concern is our life, isn't it? We're so fearful, you know. The only thing we can't let go is that. And it's just amazing. The moment I let go of that, and I sat down, I pulled all the cushions away in a split second. I have no pain at all. And the mind is so bright and just be able to focus on the object so easily. The letting go. And then I realized that actually, subconsciously, actually, I don't want the pain. Because the moment I went to get 5 cushions that already attached to that, not wanting the pain. That's why I went to get. That is the intention behind that. Subconsciously drive me to do that. But that moment, my conscious mind, I didn't really consciously aware of that. But subconsciously, I'm doing that. So I go there and get 5 cushions. And try, then I realize that. And it's just amazing. Just split second. I was really until a point that I think I can't take it anymore. It's too painful. But the pain just go away in that split second. And because of that experience, and after some times, after later, some years later, and I doing another retreat, and I started all in a certain, my back is so painful that I couldn't move. Because I remember the experience. I know that, okay, no. You're not going to get me. So that is not me. That is not mine. This is not the pain. I'm not going to allow you to get me. So I know that mine is going to manifest. Because we manifest the pain. And the moment I noticed that, actually again, the pain gone. I said, why? I'm okay. Yesterday I was alright, but all in a certain mind, I feel that really painful is not just a little bit, you know, it's all in a certain, the pain come. And sometimes you just acknowledge that, because sometimes the mind manifests the pain and you make it, you know, unbearable. So when the pain comes, it says, this is not me, this is not mine. So because we take it to be me and mine, we identify our feelings, we identify our sensation, we identify with whatever thoughts arises that moment. And then that really stops us from going deeper. That is the last one that really disappears, the sense of self, the craving. That is the most difficult part. So when you see whatever, you know, you just develop the perception of non-self. Keep telling yourself, this is nothing to do with me. This is non-self. This is not my feelings. This is not that. Like, just like a mantra. So that your mind, you do not get pulled in, and then the mind go on and on and on. So I offer this for your reflections. Maybe you can make use of this to develop the perception of non-self. When you're sitting, you find that very difficult to focus. So keep telling yourself, this is not me and this is not mine, and develop the perception of non-self. Okay, so we can start to meditate now. questions or comments? Yes, the question is that, how can we express our gratefulness for a teacher or a person who helped us if there is no self? To whom are we being grateful to? So again, that is non-self is not that. There's no one there. It's not really means that. It's more of the identification. The identity of who we are, who we're supposed to be, and how we expect other people to be. You know, how others should be. So then we create that sense of self, the identity. So isn't it, each one of us, we have stories about ourselves, isn't it? Our image, who we should be, isn't it? And that is really create the suffering. So, for example, I just give you an example. I got someone that sometimes I go, that I giving, he has some counseling with me. So he said that he find that it's very stressful, especially before he was nobody, when he started to have some fame in his career. So, and he find that lots of pressure and very stressful, and try to keep that because of fame, who is he? The name, you know, I am, you know, so and so, I'm really good at this. And he said before that, when he was nobody, no one know him, he was really good. He was so, he had no fear. When he's nobody, he has no fear. He just very creative and he just very courageous and he just, you know. But the moment he identified who is he has to live up to who he is. You know, the identity, who is, you know. And I'm so and so. Then that's what I told him. I said, when you're somebody, you suffer. When you're nobody, you're okay. Because the identity. We make all the experiences, we identify, you know, who we are. For example, yes? Yeah, when, for example, another example, someone can give you a mic. Yeah. For example, like we experienced that, I remember sometimes ago, someone said to me that this person going for a retreat. So I wish this person well. I said, okay, I hope you have a wonderful retreat. And this person said, oh, I don't think I'm going to have a wonderful retreat because now at the moment I'm very agitated and very irritated. I'll be having a very irritating retreat. So this is how we identify. We think that when we feel agitated, irritated this moment, so we think that we should, you know, we send ourselves into life imprisonment, so we will be irritated and agitated for the rest of our life. You know, that we become, the agitation become me and mine. Then, so I told her, I said, no. I said, even the most miserable person, they still have a moment they are not miserable, isn't it? You get what I mean? That is the suffering that we create. So when we depress, it's just depressed. It's not me. The depression is not, it belongs to me. You know? Then we create all sorts of the fear of the depression because we don't like the feelings. We don't like to feel low. We don't like to have this energy low. We all sorts of, all the stories, you know, we tell about this depression. Then we do not accept that. We think that is wrong. We think that it's not okay. That is the problem, the attachment to that, and we create that sense of self, that identity of who we are. And we think that we make the experience this moment to be, we make it to be permanent. We think that, oh, for the rest of our life, like we are like that. You know? This is how we limit our potential. We limit our capability. So we think that this is who I am. But is this the experience? Is this the feelings? It's come and go. So, yes?
I may have misunderstood the first question, but I thought it may have been about who should we appreciate, give gratitude to. If that was the case, surely we give gratitude to the lineage that established the methodology that helped us to realize the difficulty and work out of it. Second thing is that in regard to the no state, isn't there a subtle identification that I am nothing? Isn't that a problem on the path? In fact, mindfulness is to observe all this that goes on, even I am nobody.
Yes, because when we started to meditate, of course, because we still have the sense of self. When we like, for example, like sometimes I got upset, you know, because someone said something. And I realized that, and I suffer, I realized that, that is not the person, and the suffering is not in me. It's just that how I respond to that person, I make it to be me, this suffering is me. And then we create that, oh, this person is the source of suffering. This person made me suffer. And whole lot of that. So I still have the sense of self, you understand what I mean? But I can see that is the non-self is, I still have the attachment to me and mine. Because we cannot just let go, you know? But we have the understanding of that, then it's really free us.
Thank you.
Do you understand? We still have that. Like for me, I still, because I'm not enlightened, I still have the sense of self. But because I understand that is, you know, it's not something solid. It's come and go. It's not something solid. The problem is come from me, make it solid. That is the problem is in there. And yes, of course, that for a teacher, actually, to express gratefulness actually is a very good a mental quality, that we're grateful for whatever we have. Like for even myself, I like every morning, you see, when I eat my breakfast, I develop the gratefulness to the food. All the beings contribute into the food. It's not happened just like that. So when we have that gratefulness, we're grateful for what we have, we become so appreciative. You know, we appreciate to whatever we have. Then when we have the appreciativeness, you know, and we do not take it for granted, because the craving is come from, we want something, we are not content, it's not good enough. So when we are grateful, then everything is good. We're so appreciative. So we don't want anything anymore, isn't it? That is one of the, this quality is really lead to contentment. It's really leading to, because sometimes we develop some of this quality that is one thing leading to, that lead to that when we are so grateful. So it's good enough. I don't really want anything. It's good. But because of we don't think that it's, nothing is good enough, we always, forever, we want more and more. So when the mind craves, we want. So we are not content, we are not happy. Contentment is the highest happiness. So, the second question is, when I meditate and focus on the sensations of breath in my abdomen, I feel it on my nose tip. And after I move my attention to the nose tip, I feel it's the abdomen. What should I do? I feel it in the abdomen. It's because that is the air element. because sometimes when we focus the air, instead of just focus on the breath going in and out, sometimes we focus on the air element, because it's happened to me. And last time when I just started to meditate, for the first few years, I'm doing the meditations that are observing the arising, you know, the arising and, you know, up of the abdomen, you know, you just know that it's arising and up and down. You just, you know, just to observe that. So when I changed to practice Anapanasati, just observe the breath, you know, to the breath meditation. So because of I used to do that the other meditation, and after a while I developed that I used to observe the air element and the water element, the element in my body. So when there's air element, that is a vibrations, you feel that is the vibrations, you know, in the body. So when I changed to, when I started to do Anapanasati breath meditation, instead of I focus on just breath in and out, but I become like I'm observing the air element, so I feel the vibrations on around my tips of the nose. And I try to not to allow that vibrations, and I try to maybe just observe, let when I breathe in, I just observe the breath down to my abdomen. But I feel that vibration still in the my abdomen is go down there. So I just keep going, and then the harder I try not to focus on that, I feel more vibration, and I just feel my nose vibrate. And that is, instead of just watching the breath in and out, sometimes we go into the sensations of the breath. That is not just merely watching the breath in and out. So just knowing, just sitting there, just knowing the breath in and out. So that's like when the moment we focus on the sensation of the breath, that means we are not just simply observe the in and out breath. So we are observing the sensation of the breath. That is the difference. So that's why if you try very hard, you try to breathe it in, and then you just feel it's going to down to the abdomen. And then you try very hard, it's going to the tip. And it's keep, because we are following the air element, you know, from up and down, up and down. But rather just sit there, just knowing the awareness, just knowing the breath in and out. Doesn't matter, not to focus on the tip of the nose. Just leave it, just knowing the breath is in and out. You know, just knowing, just aware, just simply the breath in and out. Just knowing the breath in and out. But not focus on the sensations of the breath. That is, you become like focused on the air element instead of just the breath in and out. So the question three is, when I meditate during the first 15 to 20 minutes, my meditation is always very nice and blissful. After that, the bliss would disappear and I'm alone with boring reality. What can I do about this? Yes, because of the mindfulness is not be able to sustain. Because after a while, you know, and then be able to sustain, may be able to keep going with the breath, and the mind come to very really peaceful and calm, and mind is blissful. Then as the breath go even become even more subtle, but the mindfulness is not strong. Because the breath is subtle than the mind. The mindfulness is not strong enough to be able to sustain, to be able to focus. Then you start to feel bored. Like a dullness is there. Because the breath becomes too subtle, the mindfulness is not strong. Then you get like a boredom, you know, and then you just feel, because the mindfulness is not sharp enough to be able to focus on the subtle breath. Because when the breath becomes subtle, that is the you feel peaceful and blissful, that is the breath become more and more subtle. And your mindfulness is not strong. That's right. This is how you feel. So one of the way to help to put a little bit, not too much, you know, of effort into the breath, is just a little bit. So then you go back to the coarser breath, because when the breath is coarser, it's easy to focus. So then again, but not too hard. When you're too hard, then each time very difficult that you can go into deep state. Because each time when your breath started to feel subtle, you make your breath too coarse, then you're just too much. Just a little bit, you just feel you make it a little bit coarser, just then you know that's go back to the coarser breath instead of try to focus, try to sustain on the subtle breath, because the mindfulness is not strong and not sharp enough to focus and sustain that. So make it a little bit coarser, but not too hard, just a little bit. So any questions? Comments? Yes.
When you say mindfulness in that situation, mm-hmm. What are you endeavoring to allow? Mm-hmm. What is the quality of that mindfulness that you are attempting to allow?
The mindfulness, there are different level of mindfulness.
A mindfulness of the whole body and the breath rising within the body?
This the mindfulness is just the awareness, is just knowing. But that is different level. But sometimes you come to, you focus on the breath that is a more subtle object. Like some people focus on the body and the other part that is a coarser object. That is a different level of mindfulness that is a more refined. Then your mindfulness has to be when you focus on the object that is coarser, then it's okay when your mindfulness is not strong.
So when your mindfulness is strong, then you allow your mindfulness to expand, to be aware of the whole of the body?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or just to stay with the mindfulness of the whole of the breath?
The mindfulness of the breath, it's just naturally, you know, when your mind is sharp, and the breath is always there.
Yes, we realize that, of course.
Yeah.
But are you then allowing to move, to become aware of the mindfulness of the breath in the whole of the body, or just the mindfulness of the breath in the breath?
You just aware, just go with the breath and not to try to control or try to move it or try to focus on other things. Just the breath, allow the breath to be.
Yes, and then does one, then can, when can, one can be with the breath, but one may not be with the shoulders and the hips and the feet and the hands.
Mm-hmm.
Then is that what you're saying? Don't worry about those?
Yes, not to worry about that.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, not to worry about that. Sometimes when to be able to even, sometimes you'll be able to really focus on the breath. Actually, you don't really feel your body.
So you're really talking about samadhi states rather than vipassana?
That not really. That is just when you have the tranquility of the body and mind. It's you not in the samadhi state. But that is really calm. The body and mind really calm. And you still feel the body. The body you still feel, but you feel really, the mind is just, you feel really peaceful. You can sit for a long hour, but you don't feel like uncomfortable. You just feel really relaxed. The whole body is just so tranquil and so nice. That kind of feelings.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I noticed when I was meditating this mm-hmm. time, I was doing the, this is not me, because I had, with my face in pain. And then all of a sudden, I slipped into an area where it was just all black and there was just absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And it, when I became aware of it, it went away.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I was not aware of it, I would be slipping back into that. Can you explain what
so,
it was the blackness that
yes.
I made? Oh.
So when you slip into that, how do you feel that? How is it your that moment? Your mind, is it peaceful or is it calm or you know?
It was a nothing.
It's nothing.
An absolute nothing.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't peaceful. It wasn't calm. It wasn't happy. It wasn't sad. It was absolutely nothing. It was just.
For how long?
Maybe 5 seconds.
So normally, when the pain happened, do you feel that?
No, I've not felt. I've not had that total nothingness at all before. Absolutely, just nothing. It was just black.
It's black.
And it was sort of around here in the head.
So when you close the eyes, it's black?
No, that's just what I sensed.
Ah, okay.
It was all, everything was just all black.
Okay.
Yeah, and I saw it.
Yeah, so sometimes you don't worry too much about that. So whenever you just know and just leave it. Because sometimes it's happened. Like, for example, sometimes people meditate, they feel the body expansion, they feel that they become like very small, you know, and they feel the whole body twisted, and that is, you just say, yeah, and then you just go back to your meditation object. So not too worry about that.
No, it was just the first time. Where did that come from?
Yeah.
What's that?
Yeah.
And I thought you might be able to.
Yeah. You know, it's different people, you know, you different inclination. Like some people tend to have certain things happen to them. But after a while, you just leave it. And after a while, it won't happen anymore. Like some people even feel vomiting. And that's it. They have the kind of, you know.
It did give me a feeling that I wanted to go back to it.
Oh.
It did give me that slight feeling that I did want to go back to it, but I just kept repeating what you had said.
Yeah. Because sometimes if not, then, you know, like some people, and then next time when you sit, you're expecting you want to be, you know, to go back to there, but you just leave it that, because whenever you attach, because the more you let go, the deeper state you go, you can get into a deeper state through letting go. It's not through getting. When you try to expect and you want to try to control, because when you have that expectation, want to go to that is you, and then the mind tends to manipulate. Then the mind is moving, you are not being still. You know? So the stillness comes from letting go. The more you just let go, just let be whatever experience, whatever. Because that problem is we cannot become really still because of whatever experience we have that.
I did remember that, thinking at that time, just as you said that now, I remembered, it was like, I've got nothing to do. Oh.
So, yeah, just go back to your meditation object. Keep coming back because just to just let go. Because this is how we attach, isn't it? We try to put meaning onto the experience that we think that, we have this attainment. I remember Ajahn Chah, the famous teaching, one of his monks very happily went to Ajahn Chah, said, I experienced this and that, you know. And he think that he's got some sort of attainment. Sometimes you try to make it so special. And Ajahn Chah said, do you still have great hatred and delusion? Because that we suffer, isn't it? So meditation is not to get the attainment, you know. Actually, is letting be whatever experience. The more we be able to let go, the deeper we can go. The stillness is come from letting go. The stillness is not come from getting. When you try to get things, the mind moves. So it's not still. You can't get to. So whatever. Because people just like to put meaning, you know, into that, try to make it, oh yeah, I'm so special. Okay? So whatever, you just go back to your object. Okay, that's the end of the session. Thank you.